Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You need to come to the end of yourself. Really, it's a blessing when you hit a wall and nothing's working and you finally say, oh God, I can't do it. I need your help. That's good. I had one of my friends one time, a very good friend, a golfing buddy of mine. He came to me one night and his business had just folded and it looked like he was going to lose everything. And the pressure of all of that caused him to have heart trouble. And he had just gotten back from the doctor that day. And the doctor told him he had serious heart trouble and he could potentially die. And this guy, who was a strong guy, was just reduced to tears. He and his wife were sitting there just crying. And, oh, it's terrible. And my business is failing. My family's falling apart. My health is gone. And he was just devastated and told me about all of this. And when he did, I said, Tim, that's wonderful. And he just looked at me like, why would you say that's wonderful? And I said, you know what? You're a wonderful guy, but the biggest problem that you have is you. And I said, right now, you're to the end of yourself. You aren't making it financially. You aren't making it physically. I said, this is wonderful. Now it's got to be God. I said, if you'll just turn to the Lord, this could be the greatest thing. And did you know that he received that? And it changed his life, and his spiritual life with the Lord just went through the roof. And I don't know how many years ago that was. That was the beginning of our school, so maybe 15 years ago. And you know what? He's doing good. His business is prospered. He's making money hand over fist. His health is doing good. Everything's working. And it was a turning point. I tell you, it's good when you come to the end of yourself. Maybe the way you got there isn't good. You can come to the end of yourself through the school of hard knocks, or you could do it because the Word says it. It'd be better to just receive this truth. It'd be better to take my instruction and take my word for it and just believe me rather than you have to crash and burn on your own. But any way you come to the end of yourself is where you start really finding God active in your life. And so Moses was a different person. He's saying, God, I can't do it. Who am I? Totally changed. He lost that arrogance, this self-confidence that he had. He was now a nobody. He was no longer second in command of Egypt. He was a guy that was herding sheep on the backside of the desert, working for his father-in-law. And anyway, God goes on and tells him, they will believe you, and he promises that they'll do all of these things. And then in chapter 4, after God had promised him that they would believe you and they will come out, Moses said this in chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and says, but behold, they will not believe me. He just said, they will believe you. He says, they won't believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Again, put this in context with the book of Hebrews. He persevered as seeing him who is invisible. He wasn't running from God. He had been looking for this opportunity to get back and to fulfill God's will. And yet he had lost this self-confidence. He was no longer arrogant at all. He was still believing that God was going to use him, but he had come to a place to where, how can you use me? Look what I've done. I actually killed a man thinking that this was going to fulfill God's will. It's amazing what you can rationalize and justify in your own mind, but it's not God. And so he says, they won't believe me. And look at this in verse 2. This is chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. It's just a stick. He was saying, God, it won't work. God, I want to do it, but I can't do it. They won't believe me. And God says, what do you have in your hand? And he says, a stick. And look at this. The Lord said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent and Moses fled from before it. Now again, you got to remember, Moses was looking for God. He had persevered for 40 years. For 40 years he had been saying, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. I know what your will for my life was. And yet I messed it up by trying to do it myself. God, I'll do it your way. God, I'll do anything you have to say. He had been seeking God, and this is the only recorded time that God appeared to him during those 40 years. There could have been something else, but nothing's recorded in Scripture. As far as Scripture goes, this is the only real encounter he had had with the Lord. And so here he is, 40 years later, he's in the presence of God. He had to hide his face so that he wouldn't look on God and die. This is what he'd been after for 40 years. And yet when he threw that stick on the ground and it turned into a serpent, he fled. He was ready to leave it all and get away from that snake. There are some people that don't mind handling snakes, but Moses wasn't one of them. He was willing to forsake what he had been after for 40 years to get away from that snake. Moses was not one of these guys that liked to handle snakes. You know what was happening here? 40 years before, Moses knew God's will, but he was going to do it in his own strength and his own power. God, I'll take care of it. Thank you for showing me what you want done. I can handle it from here. Now, here he is 40 years later. He'd been through Bush University for 40 years. Moses went to Bible college for 40 years trying to learn. Don't lean under your own understanding. Listen to God. Do it God's way. God had been instructing him. And you know what this was? This was his final exam. God says, what do you have in your hand? And he says, a stick. He says, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it turned into a snake and he was out of there. And the voice of the Lord called and said, pick it up by the tail. And you know, if you pick a serpent up by the tail, then the serpent is free to turn and bite you. You have no control. If you're going to pick a snake up, you have to pick it up by its jaws, right behind its jaws, so that its body, as it turns, can't bite you. For you to pick a snake up by the tail means that you don't have control. And you know what? Moses didn't have the benefit of knowing the last half of Exodus 4:4. He hadn't written it yet. He didn't know that this snake was going to turn back into a rod, a stick. I mean, from his perspective, here is a venomous snake and God says, pick it up by the tail. In other words, God says, put your life on the line. Obey me and do something that could kill you. And Moses had been saying, God, I'll do anything. God, I'll do it your way. Promise, I'll do it your way. God, I'll obey you. And God says, let's see. Pick up that snake by the tail. And you know what? From Moses' perspective, this was death. This could have ended everything. All of his dreams, what he had been working for 80 years by this time, it could have all been over. He could have been bitten and he'd have died. And to Moses' credit, he decided that, you know what? I'd be better off to obey God if it looks like it's going to kill me than to lean under my own understanding. Moses had learned the lesson and he picked the snake up by the tail. Did you know that every one of us, this same principle is going to operate in your life when you try and follow God's will. God will reveal His will to you and He'll start leading you, but our selfishness, our human tendency to just do it my way and not depend on God. You know, all of us tend to control our own lives and we don't like being told what to do, not even by God. And we just like to do things our way. It's a characteristic of fallen human beings. And I can guarantee you in the process of finding God's will and then trying to fulfill it, you're going to sooner or later think that you know more than God does and that your wisdom is better than God's wisdom. You know, when Jamie and I were in ministry, we struggled and struggled. And finally, in Childress, Texas, we began to see enough progress, enough response that we were actually eating on a regular basis. And we actually bought a house in Childress, Texas. I mean, that's pretty good for people that couldn't eat and went weeks without eating. And we saw light at the end of the tunnel and it wasn't another train. It was an exit. It's like, we are going to make it. We are going to live. For the first time, people were getting healed. Miracles were happening. People were brought in ambulances and instantly healed. And we started seeing people saved and things happening. And it looked like, praise God, God did call us. We are going to survive. And did you know, in the midst of that, it wasn't a big church. We had 50 or 60 people coming. That wasn't big, but for the first time, we were making it. Things were working. People's lives were being changed. I'd started on radio, and we were beginning to make an impact, and things were happening. And in the midst of that, I went to Pritchett, Colorado to hold a meeting in a church that had 10 people. There was 144 people in the town of Pritchett. And Pritchett was 30 miles from Kim that had 100 people. We were out in the middle of nowhere. And I went to Pritchett and held this meeting just thinking that this is going to be a 3-day meeting and this is it. We're out of here. I didn't want to go to Pritchett. But we had an opportunity to minister, so I went there. And anyway, we saw a man raised from the dead. And the guy was raised from the dead. The sheriff was there trying to get his oxygen mask out. And I just walked in, commanded him to come back to life. And he came back to life. And this little town of 144 people got rocked by the power of God. And man, people started coming out of the woodwork. We were having 100 in our church service in a town of 144 people. And we were seeing things happening. People's lives were being changed. And the meeting was over and I was leaving. And they came over and they said, "You can't do this to us. You've come in here and you've ruined all of our theology. You've turned everything we knew upside down. And you're going to come in here and rock our world and then walk out and leave us? You can't do this." And I said, "I'm not staying in Pritchett." I said, "I've got a church in Childress, and praise God, we are seeing good things happening. And it's growing and things are beginning to happen." They said, "You can't do this." And I said, "Bye." And before I got out of the city limits, which was a block down the street, I knew that we were supposed to go back to Pritchett, Colorado. And did you know, from my perspective, really, most of you, you wouldn't have thought what we had in Childress was nice, but it was success in a measure for the first time.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU14C titled The Rod of God when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, "Well, I can't move and come there." Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning. Video correspondence course, we're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it, so please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.